Now, we appreciate your coming this evening, and we would like to read in the Gospel by Matthew, chapter 27. At the opening of this meeting, I would like to use this old-time question asked by Pilate so long ago. Matthew, chapter 27, and we shall read at verse 22, the trial of the Savior. Pilate was concerned about what he would do. Pilate saith unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why, what evil hath he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." One of the saddest things they ever said, and it has been true of the nation until now. Now, the Lord will bless the reading of His precious word. I would like to preach for a little while from this tremendous question asked by Pilate. Pilate asked the question, and he answered it wrongly. And some time later, he committed suicide. And we believe that one day his heart will be asking, "What will Jesus do with me?" Now, in order that we might bring the truth home plainly to every heart on this Lord's Day evening, I'm going to rearrange the question a little and in a scriptural manner put other questions to you. First of all, I want you to think of it like this. What has Jesus, which is called the Christ, done for me? That's what we've been preaching every night. First of all, we've been setting before our audience what Christ has done for guilty man. And then I want you to think of the question, when we show again what Christ has done for man, what shall I do with him as he is presented in the gospel? And then lastly, my last point will be, what shall I do without Jesus, which is called Christ? What a solemn question that is. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? What has Christ done for me? I like to think of the words of Mark 7 concerning everything that he has done, whether it be his words, his miracles, or the mighty work that we're going to refer to again. We can write over everything that he has done. He hath done all things well. Everything that Christ has done is absolutely perfect. Whatsoever God doeth, we read in the book of Ecclesiastes, whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing shall be added to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that men may fear before him. You know, it always gives me delight to present a perfect work, the work of Christ, and also to present a finished work. Sinners are waiting here for something more to happen. All the time when I'm speaking to anxious souls, they expect something more to take place. They want to see something or feel something, or they want to add their own works to it. Many people will agree that salvation is not totally by works, but they would like to add their share. Oh, I want to present here tonight, the beginning of the meeting, that what God has done is absolutely perfect. It's a finished work, and if you're going to be saved, you will accept the work that he has done totally and with all your heart. I like to preach Romans 10, it is with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, not on the head at all. I know you can't be saved without a head knowledge of the Bible, but you can't work out salvation like a problem in mathematics. It's owning that God is true and Christ has died for the ungodly. What is Jesus, which is called the Christ, what has he done for us? I think of the words of Mary, his mother. He hath regarded our low estate. Before we had a being, before man was even created, in the mind of divine persons, a plan was there eternally. And he looked down upon a world of lost men. And I'm one of those who believe, without any addition or subtraction from it, for God so loved the world. That takes in every man. There's not a man walking down the broad road. But we believe that God's wish for that man is that he would be saved. He will of all men to be saved. He regarded our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. Well, not only did he regard our low estate, but his Son came into the world. That's the whole gospel. Without the coming of the Son, there'd be no salvation. We began these meetings preaching from 1 Timothy 1:15. Faithful is the saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He regarded our low estate. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're a lost sinner, he came for a sinner like you, all the way from heaven, that we might be redeemed by his precious blood. But not only did he come, but he went forth bearing his cross to Calvary. To Calvary, to the tree, to die upon that shameful tree. He was not only dying there at the violent hands of men, and we believe that men cruelly pierced him on that cross, and God will judge the world for that sin. He has measured the guilt to the guilty city, and God will punish the world for the death of his Son. He was delivered there into the hands of sinful men and was crucified. But the Bible teaches something wondrous about that death, that not only it was violent, but it was a vicarious death. It's a big word. What does it mean? It simply means it was an atoning death. It was a death in our room and in our place. We believe the very core of the gospel that needs to be preached, the gospel of the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, is this. A substitute has died upon the cross and made ample provision, and some price is paid. All may be saved. But he's not the substitute tonight of the unbeliever that is here. He's potentially offered, but you'll never be able to say, Christ died for my sins, until you've come as a lost sinner and accepted it for yourself. That's where you come in. And every man here is a responsible being. No one will ever turn up from this meeting at the judgment bar of God and say, I'm here because there was no provision. By this verse we have quoted over and over again, it will never be threadbare. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that's your responsibility. What has he done? He's done all things well. He came, he died, he rose again. Men are denying his literal physical resurrection and telling us an angel was seen, hallucinations, befell those early disciples, and they're saying he didn't come in the same body, it wasn't the same Jesus. Yes, a man from the tomb has come in glory. I believe in a real living man in heaven, the Savior of the world, the same one that came into the world, has left the world. He's gone back. Christ has risen. We don't point you to a dead Christ hanging upon a wooden cross for salvation. We do point you to the work that he accomplished at Calvary, the death that he died, but we point you upward to heaven, to a living Savior. The Bible says he is able to save to the end all that come unto God by him. I like the words of Romans 10 and 9. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, I can't confess with my mouth for you. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be thy Lord, everyone that's saved owns the Lordship of Christ, no matter of being saved, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. And you can't believe he's raised from the dead if you don't believe he died. He died for our sins and rose again the third day, and he's coming soon, maybe tonight. What has Jesus, which is called the Christ, done for us? He's done all things well. Now tonight in the preaching of the gospel, we set before your eyes a person. We're not interested in a creed. And we're not interested in ordinance. And we're not concerned tonight with getting you to join anyone. Most of the sects and religions around us are out to build themselves up, make proselytes, add members, and so on. Friend, if you got saved here tonight and you left this hall and you never came back and you got Christ in the meeting of heaven, it'll be very thing. The big thing, and I always preach this all my life, that the big thing when a man is dying is not to what church he belongs, but does he belong to Christ? Friend, I want you to get this into your mind, that all the religion in this world has never saved anyone. You can't bring me one person to this platform tonight and say, here's a person that is saved because she kept the law, because she was baptized. Here's one that is saved because she said her prayers every night. You can't get me one. While you're searching the world for that one, I can bring you 1,000 in a half an hour and set them up here at the place to hold them and show you sinners saved by blood that received the work that they had nothing to do with. Christ died on the cross. I'm resting on that tonight. I've rested all my life upon it. From the day I was saved, as a boy of 19, I came and found that he was the only Savior. But I must claim him by an act of faith. What shall I do then with Jesus when he's preached as he has been in this meeting? What shall I do? Notice a very personal thing. Pilate's wife said, don't do anything. The crowd said, crucify him. But he must sign on the dotted line the executioner's order. He's the governor, and he must put in black and white what he's going to do. Every one of us have a choice here. You've got to put it in black and white, as it were. In the front of my Bible, I'm glad I was able to write one day, saved by grace. It's a wonderful thing to be saved by grace. Are you saved by grace? Can you go back to a night in your bedroom when you had this matter settled, when you owned before God, if I die, I go to hell. And I know I will. I'm not saved. The Bible says you must be born again. I'm not born again, but I want to go to heaven. It's the thing that I really want most of all. Well, I remember the day that I set it before me like a gem of greatest worth. I'd always sing, I found the pearl of greatest price, and the pearl is the church and all. But I know the night that I was anxious, it was like a jewel. And I wondered, and I longed for it. And I said in my mind, I made a decision. You know, making a decision always precedes your conversion. But it isn't conversion. People call for people to decide. But you have to decide before you get saved. If I decide that I want to go to Seattle tomorrow, I make up my mind here. And then I head for it. The prodigal was in the far country, made his decision. I will arise and go to my father. He wasn't saved at that point. He was saved when he felt the kiss of the Father warm upon his cheeks and heard the Father say, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. He was glad he made the choice. Everyone that ever was saved, we made up our mind. There was a time they sat and slept under the gospel, and other times people sit and they, when they're stirred up, they say, oh, I don't like that preaching. Don't like it. Man going out of a meeting in Portavogie, Ireland, a fishing village one night, He said to me, I'll never be back to hear you.
He was raging mad.
And went out raging.
Went home to his wife, he said, that man,
I don't like him at all. Who ever let him go out to preach? He would never have ordained me if I'd been going to be a clergyman. But you know, he was back the next night. And the next night. And the next night. And then he waited behind and apologized to me. He said, no apology to me. Repentance is toward God, not towards me. And before it was over, he knelt down like a little lamb, trusted Christ and became a bright believer. I baptized him. He was in the assembly until he died. A trophy of grace. But he was like Naaman. He was mad when he heard the gospel. I like to see people mad when they hear the truth. You know, you get these people and they always agree with you and say, a lovely sermon. I remember years ago preaching for 7 weeks in a place, real strong gospel every night. And this woman going out, she said, it's a pity you're not staying on. I would like to join this church. I love your preaching. I feel better every night when I hear you. I felt I wanted her to feel worse, feeling better. You know, some people tell you, lovely sermon. Oh, we loved you tonight. I like to see people stirred up to think, and it upsets their apple cart, and they realize I have nothing for eternity. I'm only a religious sinner on the way to hell. I've never been to Christ. I don't know him as my Savior. Friend, this is so important. What shall I do? I can't do it for you. You're the one that has the choice to make. What shall I do with Jesus? When will I do it? We've been preaching every night that life is short. And we can't boast of tomorrow. All around us is violent, violent death. All around us evidences of decay and sudden death. Every day, people lost at sea, lost in the air, accidents on the highway, diseases in the body. Someone here might have a deadly disease, a terminal disease, working in your system. And before the end of this year, 1993, on the lid of a casket, God has prepared for him the instruments of death. How do I know that the coffin may be made? And the day of death is fast approaching, and you're not saved. Do you know what Jesus said about a man who was not saved, who was dying like that? He said it were good for that man, he had never been born. Better that you had died on your mother's knees. Better that you had died at birth. Because we believe that every child that dies at birth or on the womb of his mother, for I believe that life begins there. Strange thing to say in a gospel meeting. We would tell all the truth. Every child, before he reaches the age of understanding, is sheltered by the atoning blood of Christ. And heaven will be his home. Better you have died at birth than to live and hear the gospel and grow old in your sins and perish without a Savior. You're on responsible ground, do you see? And the further up you go with privilege, the deeper down you'll go in hell if you die without Christ. Luke 12 says, the servant that knew his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. And he that knew not the Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with few stripes. And that's one of the purposes of the great white throne judgment. Everyone will be in the lake of fire. But I believe in degrees of punishment. Every sinner will be there in that terrible place. But I believe in degrees of punishment. The Lord Jesus said, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for the cities on the plain where he preached. Bethsaida, Chorazin. Dreadful to have the preaching of Christ in your street and to die without hope and perish in your sins. I was the child of many prayers. I was brought up in the Sunday school. I knew these gospel teachings all my life. I never remember a time I didn't know the gospel preachings. I remember the day when I realized if I die, I'll have a millstone round my neck. I go deeper down than Tyre and Sidon. When the Christians sang that hymn, deeper down than Tyre and Sidon, Will the grace rejecter be? I used to say that'll be me. Friend, how are you going to meet God
after these meetings? What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?
When should I do it? I should do it right now.
What will I do? What can I do? There's only one of two things you can do. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He was despised and rejected of men. You can reject him.
Look, then, no, you've rejected. You can reject him sitting on that seat, and even an angel might not know, but God knows. He reads the heart. He knows the answer of your heart. He knows what you're thinking. There'll never be a machine invented to get into the very inwards of a man's being. But God knows. He knows your answer. As you sit here, you can reject Christ on the seat we sit. And take care you don't reject him for the last time. You know, it's a great mercy that any of us heard the gospel twice. I've long believed that I'm only allowed to hear the gospel once as far as God is concerned. That's sufficient to damn my soul forever. It's a mercy. I heard it once. Spirit dealt with me when I was a little boy in the Sunday school. And then I had no thoughts. I heard it. No thoughts. The Spirit of God is mysterious like the wind. Bloweth where it pleaseth. Sometimes he moves in every meeting and in every person. And sometimes you can under the sound of the gospel, you hear it well preached, and yet it doesn't reach your heart. You know, when we get up here, we feel. This is how I feel. I know my brother Crawford will agree with what I'm saying. We feel it all depends on us. And we've got to do our best. But when we're in the secret place, we tell God it all depends on him. The Spirit of God doesn't work. Move in your heart. You'll make the wrong choice. Listen. To as many as received him. Let me ask you a plain question. Everyone down here, have you received the Lord Jesus Christ to be your own personal Savior? Tell me down here. Tell me, dear man, have you received the Lord Jesus to be your own personal Savior and his death to have covered your sin and guilt? And do you know from the book, I have everlasting life? You say, no, I don't. Do you know when you should be saved? Tonight in Woodland Drive Gospel Hall. The man that got this hall first, and when I first came to preach in the 35, 36 years ago, in this place, the man that had this building, even before the assembly was planted, Mr. Crawford was here before there was ever an assembly here. And the desire of those brethren, our dear brother Cobb and brother Reed, and all the brethren were here in those days, their desire was that this place would be a place where God would bless his gospel and where it would always be preached simply in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And I wouldn't be a faithful man if I came here to water down things and change what brethren desired. It was the desire always that this place would be the birthplace of souls, and we're so thankful that God has visited it once more. I've met people all over this continent that were saved in Woodland Drive. Their names are forgotten. Hundreds of children. When I first came here, there were 300 children in the Sunday school. The place was packed with children. And they heard the gospel. When should you be saved? Right now in Woodland Drive Gospel Hall, in a place where God has blessed his word so many times, and you have nothing to do but accept it to as many as received him. That's my responsibility, to receive the Lord Jesus as my Savior and his death to have made the atonement. It's not giving your heart to the Lord. Not at all. It's not opening your heart. It's not making a vow. It's not dedicating your life, committing your business, not at all. It's receiving the gift of God, which is eternal life, and you can have it tonight. And God wants you to have it. He's anxious you would have it. Angels are in this vault, lingering here, waiting to hear your answer. And God is interested in this place. Satan is interested. Christians are interested. And all the world passes by indifferently. that your destiny could be settled sitting here, Woodland Drive. What shall I do without Jesus?
It is called Christ. For the end is drawing near.
Is there anyone to help us when the end is drawing near who will go through death's dark waters by our side and will part the wave before us and will calm each rising fear and will bear my spirit safely over time? Man, when you're dying and the lights are out and your eyes cease to focus and things become dim and you're slipping out, where will you spend eternity? This is what we want to get down to. It's heaven or hell when the journey's done. And the gulf is fixed. Men may quibble and talk and try and do away with it and undermine it. I believe in a real hell of fire, a place where sinners go without the Savior, and I could have gone there. There should I have gone, but thou dost all things well. Thy love was great, thy mercy free, which from the pit delivered me. Say, where will you spend eternity? What shall I do without Jesus, which is called Christ? In the hour of death, in the day of judgment, at the coming of the Lord, to be without him. May God grant that you might receive him right now, his precious name.